So in the last few weeks, my wife and I bought our first real estate investment property. Pretty excited about that. And we are operating it as an Airbnb, which is also equally cool. That also means I'm a property owner again, and with that comes maintenance. One of the issues we ran into was the dryer at this lovely new property is just not working. Had to be fixed. Well, we had guests coming to stay at our Airbnb, and I needed to have the dryer fixed. The person who does dryer type repairs for us was not available, so I decided I was going to be the one to fix the dryer. Well, if you know me very well, you know that's not me staying in my lane. That is not my area of expertise. Handyman, I am not. If your computer goes down, I can probably help you. You do not want me hanging your drywall. But anyway, I decided I would Google how to fix a dryer vent and go for it. And I did. So I started following the steps, which the first step was pulling the dryer out so I could detach the back of the dryer. And so as I was moving the dryer, the vent came off the back of the dryer, which was okay because that was my plan. Turns out the dryer was full of water, or the vent was full of water. And so when this tube came off the back of the dryer, it began to spill this water all over the laundry room floor, approaching the carpet in the living room. In other words, you really don't want me doing your property repairs. It was a mess. So I had to go get the shop back, get it cleaned up, vacuum out the dryer the way I intended to do, clean this thing out so it worked. The dryer could not do what it was designed to do because of all the water and other junk in this tube and in the wall and underneath the back of the dryer. It was quite nasty, actually. But I was able, by sucking all this stuff out into the shop vac, to get the dryer to work, to actually dry clothes. Imagine that. I'm pretty proud of myself. That dryer could not do what it was destined to do because there was gunk in the vent and in the wall and in the back of the dryer. The Lenten season is where we do the same thing too. I had to empty the dryer in order for it to work. I had to empty the dryer of all this junk and buildup in order for it to work. The Lent season is the same. We do the same thing spiritually. We have to empty ourselves. What do you mean by that? What are some things that we need to empty ourselves from? Pride, ego. That's something to let go of. Saying that we're more important than we're not runs pretty counter to scripture. Idols. Even good things that we love more than God, we need to let go of. It's why we give things up at Lent. It's not because we just shouldn't eat so much chocolate. It's because the practice of Lent is letting go of things that come between us and God. Well, that means sin is an obvious one too, right? That if we're emptying ourselves of our pride, if we're emptying ourselves of idols, then we need to be emptying ourselves of things that break the heart of God. The Bible calls them sin. That's the obvious one. And so there's a practice to Lent, and we do it at Lent with a special intensity and a special intentionality, but this continually emptying ourselves is something we ought to be practicing all the time, not just at the Lenten season. Well, then you may be asking, how do you go about emptying yourself? Well, much the way I would literally detach the dryer from the power source and from the wall and cleaned it out, we have to do the same thing, and we do that primarily by prayer. Primarily by prayer. Richard Foster, in his book Celebration of Discipline, said this about prayer. He said, to pray is to change. Prayer is the central avenue God uses to transform us. If we're unwilling to change, we will abandon prayer as a noticeable characteristic of our life. I don't know about you, but that rings true for me. A friend of mine named Renaud, who's also a pastor, said it this way. He said, my personal prayer reveals how much I want my life to be about Jesus. When we screw up, we tend to retreat from prayer. when we're actively doing things in our life that we know God doesn't want us doing, or that we're not willing to give up yet, that we're not willing to empty ourselves of yet, then we won't go to God. Almost as if we know if we pray, God's going to do something about it. Let me say that again. When we screw up, we tend to retreat away from prayer. Almost as if we knew that if we pray, God is going to do something about that. And I would say, exactly. That's what these writers are talking about. Prayer is the central avenue God uses to transform us. Prayer is a practice of surrender. When I pray, when I confess things to God, when I talk to God, in essence, I am emptying myself of pride because I am saying, I need you to handle this. I can't. Or you're saying, I can't resist this sin anymore. I need you to transform me. The very act of praying is acknowledging that life is beyond ourselves. The challenges we are facing are beyond us. Prayer is a practice of surrender. In fact, in my experience, prayer has real power when we are real blunt with God, not when we try to be all pious and perfect in front of Him. If your prayer life is, I'm going to pray for all these other people because I'm supposed to as a Christian, and my prayer life is, God bless this idea that I have, and God bless that idea, and keep me healthy, or whatever that looks like with prayer, none of those prayers are wrong. But if we're really not being honest and open with God, then we're not really inviting Him to transform us either. If we're just giving Him our wish list, then we're just acting like He's a genie and we're rubbing the lamp. We're asking Him to do something for us instead of saying, God, I can't do this. I need you to. And whether it's accomplishing something in our life, or it's something like healing of a friend that's beyond us, or whether it's removing some kind of sin from our life, it does not matter. If we just tell God the truth, God, I really don't want to do this anymore, but I'll be honest with you, I still want to do that. God, I don't want to be prideful anymore. I don't want to be arrogant anymore. But I got to be honest with you. I have a hard time letting go of that. Or God, I really want this accomplishment to happen or this thing to happen in my life. But I am having a really hard time. That bluntness is all He's looking for. That bluntness is surrender. Confessing, God, this is beyond me. I need you to work inside of me. That would make Richard Foster right. That type of prayer would be the avenue God would use to transform us. All He's looking for is the invitation. Romans 12, 1 and 2 put it this way. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. What is Paul saying? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice in a way that's holy and acceptable to God. Present yourself to God. Surrender yourself to God. That is a spiritual act of worship. Allowing God to suck out all the gunk and all the stale water and all the nasty lint in our lives, like my dryer vent had, allows us to worship. We are worshiping God when we acknowledge that it's Him, not us. Then he says, don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It is God that steps into our hearts and minds and changes the way we see things and the way we operate in the world. A life of living sacrifice is an act of worship. Your whole life can be filled with worship when you empty yourself of everything that prevents you from loving God and others, and remain solely attached to the things that do. A dryer was designed to make clothes that are wet dry. When the system is full of gunk and water and filth, it can't do what it was designed to do. When we practice emptying ourselves of the things that prevent us from being who God's called us to be, then we're able to be the worshipers that He designed us to be. Our tradition has something called the prayer of indifference. And the prayer of indifference is simply this: God, I want your will, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. That's a prayer of emptying yourself. That is a simple prayer of indifference that says, I do not want to hang on to the things that keep me from being who you want me to be. And I embrace what you've intended for me all along. So that's my prayer for you today. A prayer of indifference. God, I want your will, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. May God empty and transform you this week. Amen. Hey, this is Pastor Charlie. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Connection Podcast. I truly hope you will join us for worship this Sunday at 11 a.m. Our building is located at the corner of Washington and Lampkin Street in Starkville, just down the street from the main building. We'd love to see you in person, but we also have online options on YouTube and the Facebook page. You can find the links in our show notes for quick and easy access to those broadcasts. We'll be back next week with an episode of the devotional, but until then, remember, best of all, God is with us. Thanks for listening.